morning again. And we're going to get right to it. This is the end of our I Am series. It's not the end of I Am, because really by that name, he just always is. This is a great name that God gave Moses to tell really anybody and everybody. And we've talked about it all the way in 2023. But if you guys remember back in the Old Testament, God called Moses to go and set his people free. And he goes, okay, but who should I say sent me? They're going to ask, who is the God that sent me? And he's like, tell them Yahweh. Tell them I am that I am. I will be that I will be. I've always been. There's no beginning, no end. And that's kind of hard for our minds to take. And it was kind of hard for them to take. But he proved it over and over again. And he's proven it over and over again to us. This Jesus said that he is the great I am in multiple ways. One time, he had sent his disciples across across a lake, and they called it a sea, but it was just a big lake, and there was a huge storm and all this kind of stuff, and they were fighting against the waves. And at about 3 a.m, Jesus walked on the water, and he was about to pass them by. He was about to show them his glory and walk by them. And they're freaking out. And they're like, it's a ghost. And he says, take courage or take heart, Yahweh. He says, I am. Ego a me in the Greek. I am. Don't be afraid. I've got you. I'm right here with you. I'm the great I am. And so we've been looking for the last several weeks at all these ways that he describes who he is, this great I am. And so you'll see on the screen, we looked in the very beginning of this series about the idea that Jesus is the bread of life. He doesn't just bring bread. He didn't just provide it in some really cool, miraculous ways. Let me feed thousands of people with a sack lunch. He did all that. But you know what? He's saying, I am the bread of life. I currently am, I always have been, and I will be the bread of life. I sustain you, not just maintain you. I give you life. He said he was the light of the world. He said, in this whole dark place, I'm the light, and the light always chases out the darkness. He said, I am. This great I am is bread for life, is the light of life. Again, he doesn't just bring light. He is light. He's the source. He said that he's the door for the sheep. He's the gate for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep as the great shepherd as well. Again, he was saying to these people something that they would have known for a long time. God is the great shepherd. Shepherds were a big deal in the Jewish culture. And they would have gone all the way back, really, to Abraham, understanding. And all kinds of leaders from that point, Moses included, were shepherds. Does anybody else remember a shepherd from the Old Testament? David, like the best king until Jesus. And God has always been the shepherd. He refers all the way through the Old Testament to himself as a shepherd. And then the last couple of weeks, we looked at the resurrection and the life. Look, I've been involved in a whole lot of memorial services. I've had a whole lot of death around me in my lifetime because, I mean, I'm 52. That kind of just makes sense, right? But there's been a whole lot of times where I've been like, these people are gone from here, but they're alive in ways that they never were here. Or they only got a tiny taste of it here. And so I've been excited to be able to talk about him being the resurrection and life. And he does this and he shares this at a memorial service for one of his close friends. And he messes the whole thing up by telling that friend to come out of the tomb. Now we look at that as resurrection, but you know what? His buddy wasn't resurrected to what he was supposed to be. He is resuscitated to what he used to be, but it's still cool. Don't catch me making that sound like a weak miracle. But he ended up dying of something else. But because Jesus was his Savior, he was resurrected to new life forever. Though a man dies, Jesus said, yet shall he live. So weird and so Jesus. And then last week, the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not one of many paths, just pick. He's like, I'm the way to the Father. I am the truth. I'm not just some kind of truth. I'm not just your truth. This works for you. Now people get to choose, but he's the. He was not an egomaniac. He is the way and the truth and finally the life. He said, no man comes to the Father except through me. All the difficulties that you go through in life, he's like, I've got you. I'm the way. I'm the way through it. I'm the way beyond it. I'm going to teach you in it. And today, we talk about him being the true vine. I don't know about you, but vines have kind of been a little bit of a pain in some of the homes that I've had. But like vines that produce fruit, in particular grapes, for juice or wine, huge metaphor all the way through the Bible for the church and now for Jesus himself. Will you join me in John 14? We're going to get right to it. We're looking this whole year in 2023, you guys, at what Jesus said. Please get your Bibles, open them up. If you don't have a Bible to open up, you can look up on the screen. We'd love to get you one, or you might have a little screen right there in front of you, your little phone. How cool is that? I just remember when I used to be an office coffee service guy, I used to go into buildings, and I'd have to wait for the elevator. And I used to have a pocket Bible, and I would crack that thing open, and I would read it. Man. You can have it read to you. My wife and I go to sleep each night listening to the Bible. Oh, that's rude. You fall asleep listening. Oh, it's so cool. My dreams are weird and great. All kinds of cool stuff. Bring the Bible with you. There's an even cooler and more intimate way to bring it with you. Start internalizing it, memorizing it. So what Jesus said, let's go to John 14, 15 through 17. This is the last night of his life on the planet, so to speak, until he rose from the dead a few days later. This is Thursday night. He's sharing all kinds of different things with them. Hey, I'm going to leave. We just looked at the fact that he did. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then this, John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, that's God, Yahweh, and he will give you another helper. You might remember this word helper. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, God said to the man, I'm going to give you a helper. We have made this subservient, less than, that is not what God has said. He refers to himself as helper. So many good things on that word. I'll get to that in a second, but I want you to remember that. I will give you another helper. Why would he say another helper? Yeah, it's a different kind of helper. Was there one there right now in this moment? Yeah, Jesus. He's like, hey, we're going to take care of you. I'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Oh my goodness, this is so good. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Down here, a little blurb says, it could mean is in you. He's already in you. This is to God's people. So let's get back to that word helper for a second. Helper, this word means helper, counselor, advocate, intercessor. Like there's one that wants to help you. Do you guys remember who the Holy Spirit is? Anybody? God. We let him out all the time like, he's kind of, it's weird. Scottish church used to call him the wild goose. Like just cannot control that Holy Spirit. Nope. That word spirit, pneuma. Like wind, can't control him, and yet he wants to help and direct us. Do you know that the Holy Spirit actually led Jesus into the desert to be tempted? You guys, you cannot control him. Would God allow us to be tempted? Would God lead us into temptation? He's not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt with evil, but he allows us to be tested. This is helpful. Makes you stronger. But I always give into it, but you don't have to. By the Holy Spirit's power and counsel and intercession, where he's praying for you, that's what that means. Romans 8 is cool on that. Check that out on your own time. But he actually is there for you. More on that as we keep going. Let's go to verse 18, John 14, 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Two meanings on that at minimum. He'll come back, which we're going to hear about again and again and again as we go with what Jesus said. Because he said, I'm going to be here, and then I'm not going to be here. Then I'll be right back, and then I'll come back again. But I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth. So it could mean that he's coming back again, but it also means, like, look, I'll be with you. My Spirit will be with you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also will live. Who needs to hear that today? Because I live, you also will live. Resurrection, the life, the way, the truth, the life. Okay, I'm the only one excited about it. All right, let's go. Here you go. Verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That sounds like Yoda again. What is he talking about? Like, me and the Father are one. We're one. I'm in you. This is good. I'm your Savior. You're my body. My church. I'm the head. Jesus is awesome. Thank you. You're from the South. You should be. Come on. I'm gonna need a little more of that. All right. Just playing. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest or show myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, because that guy was kind of a punk. He's like John wants to make sure, not that Judas. He says to him, Lord, how is it that you will show yourself to us and not to the world? They're trying to understand him. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him. And we will make our home with him. You're not even from the South. You're born and raised in Washington. I see you now. Next. All right. Listen, this gets so powerful. In this world, people think Jesus is too exclusive. His people are too bigoted, too mean. And sometimes we're all those things. But we will know and be known by being people who follow Jesus, that do what he says. Verse 24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Whew! Somebody's convicted besides me. I love Jesus, but I don't always keep his words. But he's not talking about every now and then. He's talking about you make a decided effort to abide, to make an abode, to make a home, to make a dwelling place with not obeying Jesus. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So in verse 23, really quick, you're going to see where Jesus says, my Father and I will come to that person who loves us and keeps our word, and we'll make our home. That word is mone. Now, I definitely thought of that, mone, mone, right? That was in my head. But now that you've got that in your head, go to the fact that it's home and dwelling. We will make our home in the people who love us, the people who keep our word. More on that word in a second. Back to John 14, 25. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, now he breaks it down for him, right? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Have you ever been wondering about life, struggling in life, but as a Christian, you know that Jesus said something about this, and you just find yourself trying to remember, and then the light bulb. You may not remember, oh, that's in John 14, but you remember something. You remember, gosh, Proverbs 14, 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Oh gosh, this way seems jacked up, but Jesus is the way that isn't. Okay, Lord, thank you. I'll always be with you. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. You find yourself remembering, that's the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, I got you. I'm right here with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'll come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Please don't get caught up in the, wait a minute, I thought you said they were the same. They are, and Jesus teaches us how to humble ourselves and to submit. They're triune, they're equal, they're God. And yet he humbles himself and he shows as a man, as Colleen so masterfully shared, he shows what it's like to submit and to humble yourself to God. And you would have been stoked for me that I'm going back to the Father. Look, I don't like death, but if you're a Christian, that's mighty graduation. We have a hard time with that because we really, this is the only life we've known. There's so much more. Enjoy what you've got here, but when it's time to go, and if you're in Jesus, you're going to true, abundant, full life in a way that's uninhibited. And he said, you'd be happy for me. Verse 29, and now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. You've heard me sing this before, so let me just do it one more time. Jesus said, there'd be days like this, there'd be days like this, Jesus said. Close enough. All right, Jesus said, Jesus said. You guys, I'll no longer talk much with you, he says, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. Verse 30, one more time. I'll no longer talk much with you, but he encouraged them. I'll leave my spirit with you, and he's going to counsel you, and he's going to direct you, and he's going to intercede for you, and he's going to correct you. Because the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. Reference to the enemy and Jesus' authority over him. The enemy thought he won. Jesus died, but 3 days later, rose like a biscuit. How cool is that? But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let's go from here. Look, you guys, he's saying, let's go. And where are we going from here? He's going up and out. He's going to keep teaching them some things. We're going to see a few verses next. But he keeps teaching them some things, prays over them, and then they go into this little campground. And that's where he's going to be betrayed. He's like, look, we can't stay all comfy all the time. Let's go. I go with you. Let's rise and go from here. John 15. I am, ego of me, Yahweh, the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Continually speaking words to them. He's spoken to them. He says straight up, I am the true vine. Look, recently with all the windstorms and then we had snow and then they're saying they're going to have some more snow, you'll see branches break off from a tree. If a branch breaks off from a vine or a tree, you know what you can do with that? Did you say plenty? Amen. Like what? Okay. Maybe. Almost all those are dead, right? You might try, and we might try, but only God can give it life again. This idea, right, of the Father being the vine dresser, he's the one that looks at it and goes, dead. Off. Almost dead. Let me lift it up. That could be a takeaway, right? It says take away the branches. Sometimes the branches need to be lifted up. They need to be tended to and cared for. And he knows, oh, there's some life in there. You might remember a story about a guy named Eutychus. He was with Paul, and Paul was preaching on and on, kind of like I do, but it was in a much smaller room and more people and warm. And Eutychus is on the window because homie's just trying to stay with it. But he falls asleep. And he hits the ground. And they're like, he gone. But they go, he goes down and sees him, goes, no, he's not dead. And he raises him up. Sometimes God says, oh, he looks dead, but he's not. But other times he's like, yeah, it's gone. And that does bear fruit, he prunes back, which looks dead after it's done being pruned. But God's like, I got more coming. Some of you are being lifted up. Some of you are being cut off. And some of you are being pruned. And the one doing it can be trusted. If you're feeling like you're being cut off because you know you've been dead and there's no fruit, then repent. Come back to the one who is the vine dresser. The taking away and pruning can be a lot. And I cannot always tell when I'm being cut off or when I'm being pruned, except to know that where I'm at, if I'm following Jesus, and I'll know that I'm following him because I love him and do what? Do what he says. Even in a world that says what he says is just weird. He's already spoken to us. He's already given us his word. For some of you, you're not sure that you're actually on the vine. Sweet. Let's go back to more of what he says on how this can look. Verse 4. Abide in me. By the way, that word abide, we're about to see it a bunch of different times. At least 10 times in the English language in the verses we're about to read. This is a derivative of the word mone. It's meno. One is an abode, the home. One is the dwelling in that home. Okay, so here we go. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do. This is an identity check. One of us is the source of life. One of us needs the source of life. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and branches are. And those branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Whew. Really quick. Three different ideas generally come to mind when people hear this. I lost my salvation. I'm not one of those guys that believes you can lose your salvation. But some people think that. This contradicts a ton of the scriptures. But that's one view. These are Christians who have lost their salvation. Number two, the burned branches. And this one's really, really hard for some people to take. But it represents Christians who will lose rewards, but not salvation at the judgment seat. Jesus spoke here, though, of dead branches picked up and burned. So the final one, the third one, is these are people who thought they were saved and they really never bore fruit. They were attached. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I even tithe. I came to your little meetings. I did some things. I sang some songs. But they were spiritually dead. I tend to lean towards the third one. I'd like to see the other ones be somewhat true. I can't believe in the first one. I don't think we lose our salvation. There's a lot of us maybe in this room that think that. We could have a pleasant debate about that, and I would gladly hear from you. But losing rewards, not salvation, possibly. That final one, it should probably be reminding you of the time when Jesus said, "Don't call me Lord, Lord, I never even knew you." Hebrews talks about people going out. They were hanging with us, but they never were part of the body. They tasted, but they didn't take in. And I think a lot of what we've been seeing in our culture is a refining moment. And you can indeed be in Christ. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I can get to this. So here we go. That meno is abide. The word abide, meno, and it's off of that monet. And God is saying, look, we'll make our home with you. You'll make your home in us. You will dwell here. You will cling here. You will rest here. You will find life here. You will go from here and you will bear much fruit. You want a picture of what it would look like? In 1 John 2:4-6, this man who wrote this right here, John, wrote three other letters and then a fourth one called Revelation. In 1 John 2:4-6, he gives us an idea of what it looks like to abide. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Please don't see this as sometimes not keeping his commandments or struggling. This is the, I know him and don't do a thing that he says. Don't want him, don't follow him. Can fake the funk a little bit, can put out some fruit that looks like it, but upon further inspection, oh, it's plastic. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly the love of God is perfected or made whole. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We should look like Jesus. Well, love. Just be loving. That's all that Jesus was. No, it isn't. Truth and love. Grace and truth. These go together beautifully because he's both. Say it again. He's strong and powerful. He is life. We get to be the same in him, even when we feel weak. Which leads me to this. How do we abide? Well, we're going to have to DTR. define the relationship. He's the vine. We're the branches. He's life. We need him for it. How do we abide? Well, we worship him. We meditate on his word. We share his story of grace. We pray, we sacrifice, and we serve. And we have this identity check that says, I need help. Pastor John was sharing with us at our staff meeting about this Pastor J.D. Greer. Is it Hope Has a Name? Is that like the whole conference? He says, if dependence is the objective, which, by the way, if you're a branch, you're dependent on what? Yeah, the vine or the tree. You've got to be connected. So if dependence is the objective, then weakness is an advantage. We admit, I got to stay connected. Jesus is just a crutch for you. Word, I can't walk without him. Or you just hide in your faith. No, I desperately cling to it. I abide in Jesus. I want to ask you to consider this as we start wrapping up. No fruit is what we first hear about in John 15. And then he says bear fruit. So it's this progression to much fruit. The only thing that can produce fruit is a natural organism. You cannot see a machine produce fruit. You can't see a system produce fruit unless it's a natural organism that God has designed to produce fruit. I want to encourage you to think through that. I want to give you a bunch of different verses that you can go and look at on your own. But active dependence and loving obedience is the proper path for us as God's children to produce fruit. More fruit. Fruit that lasts. In Matthew 3:8, John the Baptist says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. In Luke 10:2, we find out that there's a fruitful harvest in Jesus. In Romans 6:22, we find out that there's fruit. It's sanctification, obedience, and eternal life. In Galatians 5:22-23, you might have these memorized. We find out about the fruit of the Spirit after we find out about the fruit of the flesh. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not fruits of the Holy Spirit, but fruit of the Holy Spirit. In him we bear this much fruit. Colossians 1:10, we find out that the fruit is good works and increasing knowledge of God. Finally, in Hebrews 13:15, the fruit is praise and acknowledgement to God and of God. We're dependent. So how are you going to move towards Jesus today, friend? How will you bear more fruit? Just try super hard. Do you know that the natural flow of an undiseased, not dying organism is fruit? If you find yourself not having fruit, please don't compare to her, to him, to me. If you don't see yourself with some of this fruit and then go back and look at it, if you find yourself just trying to eat your own fruit and not giving fruit to others, you might need to repent. You might need to, stick yourself back onto the vine, except he's not going to do that. He'll make you fresh and new. He's not doing a little tape job. Or he'll take that broken stick and let's see what happens. If it grows, it's because God says so. Here's the good news. It takes time. And God is patient. He's the one that's going to produce the fruit in you. If you don't see any fruit, but you're loving him and obeying him, obedience is fruit. Loving him is fruit. And more will come. And you won't be able to keep it to yourself. So how do you move towards him? Some of the things we've said all the way along. Repentance. Worship. time in his word, believing his word, living out his word, speaking and live it out. Watch for some more on that. I got a couple cool things that I'm going to offer up to you on that. And if you don't know what that means, go check out our website. Go check out our app. We have a thing called Live It Out, and it's like an application. I say, Sunday morning service is over. Let your weekly service begin. It's time to live it out. Speaking of that, there's a guy, a pastor, Nathan R. Johnson. His sermon podcast has been really helpful for me all the way through this series. And he did it during COVID, and he's trying to clear his throat all the time, and he's got some weird mannerisms, which is so different from me because I'm just perfect. Jesus is the great I am. He loves you so much. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And that's not even a burden. You're just like, man, the more I obey him, the more I want to. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunities before us. I thank you that when we're in you, we produce fruit. I love that you say that the lips of the righteous feed many. God, we're righteous if we're in you. We have a great opportunity to produce fruit that actually produces fruit, and what a great gift that is. You've called us in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what you've taught us to obey. May we trust that and believe that. And God, for some that are right here and they're like, I haven't done it. May they come to you today knowing that they can abide in you right now. God, thank you for loving us. I praise you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, friends, so you got to go get your kids, but I'm going to tell you, next week, we start right off of this in this commandment that Jesus commanded. His greatest commandment, love. You shall love. How in the world could you command love? Come back next week. We'll get after it. Shalom. Be strong and courageous, and let it be contagious. Don't keep it to yourself. Bye-bye.